Golden, Colorado. With up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Yes, please, MCG, the venue. Essendon take on Melbourne this afternoon. Traditional Saturday afternoon. The Coliseum, two big clubs. We love every single bit about it. And I know I'm a bit broken record, Gary, but the number one team assembled here, of course. Smud's just picked up on an afternoon down in Tassie for the week.
I'm not sure.
I just picked up last night too, Smud, after coming back in from overseas. How well we did, but we'll get to that. Gary Lyons here, former superstar of the Melbourne Football Club. They play today. Also, Damien Barrett. We say rare form.
Rare.
Gary.
So much so that there's almost a concession out there.
I think a full concession.
They try and put a little bit of distance between Warriors' story because they know if they go the next day that it looks like they, you know, are following again.
That's
so they think that if they leave a day, people might think it's theirs.
It might be mine. I might have come up with this.
We're not that silly,
that's
Jimmy.
That's it. And of course...
Neither is the general populace.
Spud's here. Hello, yep. Spuddy boy.
Yeah, but a different week. I've been down at your old neck of the woods, Gaz. Tassie, Ulverston, young Keeley.
3 weeks, playing. Gary was in Tassie.
Devonport.
Devonport. Yeah. Stayed at Devonport for the National Basketball Championships. We're at Ulverston.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the Vics got beat on the buzzer last night. So they're playing for the bronze against Vic Country today.
Ooh.
So I've been not on the phone, not on the
out
laptop.
Did you bring that
out of circulation?
Did you bring that T-shirt back from there?
Oh, an early clip from Purple.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with it, Gaz? No, please.
Oh, Gaz,
sort of
not.
A real Aztec styling there, Spud Regis.
No.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't dislike it.
Next kiss. Taking the vest off to give it a full.
He's taking his Fox
airing.
Footy puffer vest off.
I think the shirt's all right, Warrior. At least I can fill it out. Idea, you puny little prick. But anyway, JB, I got no idea. Someone whispered when I was walking through the car park again.
Yes.
Had to walk through
the mud. You're a man of the people.
Didn't get a car park last week when you were away,
but
over in Bali.
The car parks are shut at the MCG. Mm.
Yeah, I know, but I got a car park.
Where'd you park today?
The CEO of the Richmond Football Club.
I
just said to the guy in the gate, I got an important meeting with Brendan.
Where's Brendan going to park?
Not sure. Hope he's not working today. They had a good win last night, so he'd been home with his beautiful family. But you've been away, JB.
Yes.
And of course, last night I was listening at the pub. The Devonport had a couple of quiet ones watching the game.
They listen to us down there.
They do. They love it down there.
So does everyone.
And BT was on the call. Where was Das?
Well, Pencil's still in Bali.
Yep.
What do you mean?
How many weeks
did he get in?
Well, another month, hopefully.
A month?
Yeah.
So you've been away for a couple of days, Warrior. I've been down to Tassie.
I haven't.
You've been to Bali.
I haven't.
Where have you been, Wolf?
Been working my ass off, I have. holding the fort.
He looks a bit angry.
And really happy about it too, Spud. Look at him.
So anyway, JB, did we just sneak over the line in the ratings, or was it... Like someone said in the car park to me. I'm not sure.
It was like Tiger Woods at Bethpage, but it was a 10-shot win in a US Open.
So,
the greatest margin ever.
Hope we don't go down Tiger's.
We're every chance.
Not only 10 to 55, who we absolutely smash. We're talking...
No, 10 plus, but everyone.
We're talking 10 plus.
All listeners.
So even the people that used to listen to the dead station, they're now listening to us.
Everyone knows, bud. Everybody.
So what are the other people in the boxes doing now then?
We don't know. Not sure.
They plugged in. They just sort of. They plugged in. They're just sort of. They're just role playing.
That's bringing a bit to the table.
Are they just role playing next door? They're just having a chat amongst each other. You could actually do it at home, couldn't you? Pick it Skype, you silly bastard. Come on.
Hold
and rub. Like, that's everyone listens to. I know they do. Come on. They're in there having a meeting for 10 minutes before. What were they having a meeting about?
Right,
what time? What they were putting in their sandwiches for lunch? I'll have one sugar, please.
Oh no. He's got it out. The trumpet's out already. We're 3 minutes in.
I wasn't sure. I didn't grease it up.
You just brought it in case, mate.
I brought it in case because I knew this was
working. Earliest trumpet I've ever heard.
Sounding pretty sick, that one, too, Spud.
And that's a grease in all changes. Cop that! Cop that next
Freestyle in the Doram.
We've taken it well, haven't we, the Victory? Oh,
no. Well, that will be a subject later in poor.
Yeah, oh, it will, so it should be.
Hey, we came here last night and watched Richmond do what they should have done, which is beat Carlton. But it has to be said, Gaz, we're going to get to all of the stuff about it. It was one of the less memorable encounters, Friday night certainly, that we've all come and watched.
No, it was lamentable. It was worse than that. It was almost unwatchable in the first half. We've become so used to watching good sides play that when they get out into some space that you just think they're going to pick the eyes out of it going forward. And Richmond, so many times, got clear footy through the middle of the ground and could not find a target inside 50 for the life of them. And at the other end, Carlton were going just as well in terms of winning footy and getting quality shots at it going forward as well. But they had a bloke called Alex Rance who just did his best David Dench into
Matty Scarlett
impersonation and wouldn't let anything pass. And my only criticism, if I had to be critical of Carlton, was that I didn't think they, and maybe it's too simplistic, it's easy where we sit, but work overtime in trying to take him away. Just have a sacrificial lamb, which Lockie Anderson was anyway, without even trying. But he should have someone been trying to take him away from the contest because he, Spud, I don't know how much you saw at the Devonport pub, but you would have been going off in the holster with that performance. That was as pure a half of defensive footy as you're likely to see.
As I said, you only see it on the broadcast, and as you said, his ability to read the ball now, and that's what he does. He beats his opponent by playing the ball. He just reads the play unbelievably well. We know Scarlett did it well. He is now the premier defender in the competition by the length of the straight at the moment.
Having said that, three times Levi Casbolt clunked him in a contested mark. Like three times in a big high ball contested mark, one-on-one in the first half, Levi Casbolt went bang. And that was where I was looking at from an analyst point of view, saying that's the matchup that they've got to try and manufacture and try to take Rance deep with him and go to them long. Don't try and hit Levi on a lead out to a pocket. Just keep pumping it. And that would have had a double-edged sword to it. I would have thought that you're taking Rance away from where he was doing all his damage at half-back rebounding. Yep. He had 18 possessions at half-time.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So take him deep, pump it in long, and three times Casbolt had shown that he could take a mark on him.
Would they then have, this is the Richmond coaching staff, Gaz, if Casbolt had done that, would they have done what Geelong always used to do with Scarlett and leave him high and just fold Chaplin back on?
I've got no doubt about that, Jim, but in the process, what you're doing as a coaching group is you're getting your forwards to play in the manner that their advantage lies in the fact, as I always say, go where you want and a defender has to go. And at least then Rance is going, oh, right, I'm being dragged back, I'm going up, I'm going to try and switch over. Yep. His mind goes away from what he's doing so beautifully last night in the first half. Couldn't care less who was around him. He didn't care. He knew he was positioned across half-back and he just read it. They had to try and work him over, and at least then it would have occupied. Might not have worked, but you had to ask the question of him.
And the thing is, he just plays 100% of game. They don't take him off. Right. So, and he has a spell, but we were talking about it off-air, JB. It's been his ball use, too, the last 18 months.
It has been amazing.
He was the most effective player on the ground last night, 91% effective disposal. So that was always like 3 or 4 years, I reckon it was only 3 years ago, sides would say, okay, he defends well, but roll off him and let him kick the ball. Now they can't do that at all. He's actually far too good. And this is a sign of how good he is, and you're right, Gaz. I think sides now will put more time into Rance and how do we get around him. And that's the sign of how good he's going. And that was the thing with Scarlett back in his heyday. You'd spend half your coaching selection around how do we get through Scarlett? How do we make him defend?
But Spud, this and again going on what Gaz and Chief said last night, when you played against Geelong with Scarlett and Lonergan, and now with Taylor and Lonergan when Taylor's really up and about, the mindset has got to be that whoever's playing on Lonergan has to have their hands full to the point where the coach's box goes, well, we can't leave Lonergan on whoever it is. We've got to fold Taylor back onto him. So what Gaz said last night, which is spot on, I thought, was whoever's playing on Chaplin has got to have a very good night. So that suddenly the coach's box go, well, can we leave Chaplin on this bloke? Or do we have to take Rance away from where he's dangerous and put him back to their most dangerous? And that didn't happen.
No, and they kicked two goals in a row in the third quarter. Henderson and whoever it was, but they were in 4 metres of the goal line. So they finally went bang and punched him in and took two contested marks and kicked two goals. It was Henderson and Cruiser. And look, Henderson had a shocking night, but Henderson and Cruiser v Batchelor and Chaplin, I'm saying,
yep.
I like it from a Carlton point of view, but there were scant times where the two of those were one out against those two players, Duke.
Richmond did what it had to do, Gaz, and Carlton under John Barker's coaching did what it has been doing. But you used the word unwatchable, and it was. I can tell you as a viewer it was. Mm. We've got Carlton again. Now, that was their sixth either Thursday or Friday night match last night. There's another one coming, round 17 versus Hawthorn. We once earlier this year said to the AFL, get them out of that slot. I reckon we should make another bladed push to get them out of that slot, because this is not what Friday night footy's about.
No, look, it's been one of the monumental muck-ups of the season, and we know we have some fun with this, isn't it? It's a thankless task trying to put a draw together, but the decision to put them on six occasions on a Friday night has been, when we look back at 2015, at the top of the muck-ups of the year. And they, you know, the way that they've played, like Melbourne and other clubs who have been, you know, so hopeless. They don't deserve a Friday night game. They won't. You know, they might get one next year.
Well, they probably don't deserve that. Given they've been to the slot this year.
No, that's true. The Bulldogs, and as I said, Melbourne and St Kilda, and those sides have all had to say, and as hard and unpalatable as it is for supporters and sponsors who want exposure, they're sending a message to those clubs saying, you want to play on the big stage, you earned that right. Now, Carlton have been given that right six times and failed, and now they don't get it next year.
With one to come in round 17, which is the time of the season when it's starting.
But on the back of finishing, 13th or 14th last year too.
Yeah.
So they didn't earn the six. That was our point at the start of the year. They weren't earned.
Mm.
So what it is, Purple, and there's no hiding from this, if Gil McLachlan or Lethers were in this conversation, they would have to acknowledge that this was a draw absolutely put together because they're going to market with their rights.
Mm. So the rights up end of next year. Yeah, you're saying this is a positioning year for that.
No doubt.
But how does Carlton playing on a Friday night actually enhance that?
What they do is they've historically looked at the highest rating clubs in Melbourne especially, and they are Richmond, Carlton, Essendon, Collingwood.
Yep.
And so therefore they go, okay, Essendon for varying reasons maybe not given the same exposure, but the other three clubs, Richmond, Collingwood, Carlton, I think play in 19 or 18 of the 21 Friday nights this year. And the reason for that is because they're going to 10 and 9 and 7 and Fox and Telstra and all the rest of it and going, here's our product, pay us another $500 million beyond what you paid last year. Mm. So they've tailored the draw for that. Now
it's backfired. You
know, it's backfired horribly. There's no doubt about that.
There's no other way of looking at it.
Yeah, and so what I would hope the AFL would acknowledge is, okay, this was a KPI, if you like, driven draw because they're trying to tick these boxes off so they get the money they want. I hate that. I hate that in our draw anyway. I've said this publicly. I would love us to play two less games a year and have a much purer draw. And if that costs you $40 million, I don't care. $100 million, it doesn't matter to me. Your money's your money no matter where it sits. I would far prefer to have a pure draw. Everyone plays each other once and have those rivalry rounds and have the draw so that we don't deal with what we're dealing with this year, where teams get a blissful run and other teams get smashed. So for me, our competition, the big worry is that we are so often driven by a financial reward result rather than by a footy pure result. And that's what this draw looks like to me. And, you know, it's Mark Lejeudice and they've gone through a horrible time. And, you know, so it's not necessarily their fault, but they shouldn't have been given this access in the first place.
Oh, I tell you what, he's come back fresh.
Hasn't he?
Fresh when he's up out of
weed. Political statement.
And the 52,000 crowd.
And taking the praise pretty easily.
Yeah, he is too. And sitting back.
Well, I'm just letting Spud have a bit of time.
No, the 52,000 crowd on a Friday night with these two, that would be the lowest in 10 years. I wouldn't even
20,000 below the last five.
Yeah, so there's no... Well, probably more than that. More than 10
I think
years,
we had a couple off the pack who were suggesting the car parking last night. I know they're shut today, so that's going to have an impact. Yeah. And the Arctic weather conditions might have contributed to some degree.
Richmond, before we get off them
can they make the top four?
Well, this is the thing. The Tigers fans listening, Gaz, will say, well, I ain't give a stuff whether it was an attractive game or not. We've won our six of our last seven. We're flying. Get around us a bit more and get a bit more excited about us.
Yeah, I agree with them. I would agree. Yep. I know from a commentary point of view, when you're calling the actual game, you're looking at ways to always even it up to see how another side can get back into it. But at the end of the day, they did exactly what they needed to do. They were, again, not at the best or at the top of their game, as they weren't last week. But they've banked another 4 points. They've got challenges coming up. Ivan Maric didn't play. Hampson was good, by the way.
Yep.
Probably Vickery. We'll get to Damo on that shortly. He may have a little spell. But no, they're a good side. And Trent Cotchin did it again last night. Great leadership. Deledio, I thought, was sensational. Jack Riewoldt, sensational.
Did he play up higher, Gaz? Like, oh, we know he has, Jack Riewoldt.
Oh, yeah, no. He had Jamieson at the first matchup, and straight away, Spud, I thought, Jamieson's a full back.
Yeah.
Jack Riewoldt's now a half-forward flanker, and he turned him inside out that much. He kicked the first goal, and sadly for Jamo, he came off just after that, but that wasn't a matchup that was going to work for him.
What you've got in front of you there is the Wolf Pack, and a photo of Spud's T-shirt's gone up.
Awful's the best I can come up with. That's from Donovan. Steve Goldsmith wanted to know whether you're on timekeeping over at the basketball.
They don't put me near that anymore.
Sport Leisure wants to know, Purple giving fashion tips, please.
That's a
good point.
Teddy Wheeler, the leader of the Wolfpack. Oh, no, Spud. Yes, you are juggernauting, but don't go trying to start new trends. You're a hashtag meat and two veg operator.
Take it on board, Teddy, but good stuff.
Spud says selling T-shirts at discount rag stores now. That's from Nathan Lewis. It's gone nuts here, Spuddy. Trent Nathan, nice of his wife to lend it to him. That's how Bruce Jenner started.
Come on,
Spuddy.
No, don't go that way.
So there you go. They just keep rolling in, Spuddy.
I think it's all right. My daughter's bought it for me, so I'm happy with it.
Xavier Campbell, for everyone listening, will be joining us here in the box. Fascinating to speak to the CEO of the Essendon Football Club with everything that they've been enduring over the last, 2.5 years, really. But
the last month they've been poor, JV.
Yeah.
Just listless, the whole team, especially last week. That's the worst performance from the Bombers for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years last Sunday.
Well, I suppose, Spud, we're going to get to this game. We might as well do it now. I suppose the question you ask is, it has staggered me anyway, and I think a lot of people, how long it's taken for them to get to this point. I thought they would be here 2.5 years. I've been astounded at how well they've held up this playing group in the face of everything they've had to deal with. Has it finally caught up with them?
It clearly has. I mean, as you said, we'll have got Xavier Campbell coming in soon to discuss and put all those things to him. But yeah, to me it has. It's coincided with the WADA appeal. The bottoming out of this footy club has happened basically on that week.
So, and I don't blame him for a second, Gaz, because for me it's like the old Shawshank Redemption. You're finally getting marched out of the door of the jail after a horrible time, and just as you get there, they slam it again and shove you back in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the worst thing that could ever happen to you mentally.
I think from a Joe Watson point of view, I know the injuries come about, but that was sort of the overwhelming suspicion that is how it played out on him. And it makes for this is why today makes for an even more intriguing clash, because these two sides are now sit at diametrically opposed ends of the scale, if you like, to where they've been over the last 6-7 years.
Well, you wrote about it in the HC.
Melbourne have been the side who have been on the front back pages of the paper and have been performing so poorly, yet 4 of the last 5 times they've played against Essendon and beaten them. So now we've got Essendon who have been in the front and back pages of the papers and are now going poor against, albeit Melbourne not going as well as the Bombers were back then. But they come here and play an overwhelming favourite Melbourne. It's the first time probably in 10 years, I reckon, against the Melbourne-based side coming in as a favourite like this. It is a fascinating game. And I know there are a lot of other people who will just say, oh, well, it's just a boring game between two poor performing sides, but it's more than that for Melbourne. This time last year, Melbourne were 4 wins at exactly the same stage of the season and didn't win another game for the year. They're 4 wins at this stage of the year. They've got a vulnerable Essendon. I think they've got Carlton and a few other sides to come. This is a real chance for them to say, no, we're on the right path, which makes it the most important game in recent times
for
the Demons. So it is fascinating, but Melbourne supporters driving in here and listening to us will say, that no way would they be coming into this game today feeling confident.
Their form stacks up a little bit, the D's, though, and I look at St Kilda's form, and Melbourne's very similar at the moment, and St Kilda just put Essendon to the sword, but these stats don't lie. These are the last 4 weeks for the Bombers. Inside 50s, they're conceding 58. The average is about 50. Their average losing margin, 67 points. They're ranked 18th for points against the last month, averaging more than 20 goals. So they're leaking like a sieve. That was one thing they had going for them even over the last couple of years. Sides score 32% of the time when they go in. The league average is 22%. It doesn't sound a lot, but it's a smacking. And the turnovers, they're conceding 13 goals a game. So they're not using the ball with any confidence at all as well.
If I was playing poker, Spud, I'd pull out Melbourne's stats for the last 5 years. I'd put them down and say, I've just trumped you, champ. Therefore, made that look pretty good, yet they beat Essendon 4 of the last 5 times. This is my point. How do Melbourne go now, this playing group, with that mentality that everything points to them winning? How do they then handle that on the occasion? Because the facts are they should win. Mm. Melksham out, Hocking out of that selected side, so Laverde comes in.
Watson, Cooney, Myers, Collier, Bell, Chambers, Carlisle, Chapman, Fletcher.
Yeah, and you got...
out of what's probably their best... There's 10 names
out of
their best.
There's a lot of older players on the too, though.
2 weeks ago, Melbourne had their best win in recent times against Geelong. Vince and Jones are in all Australian form. McDonald and Dunn have been solid. Brayshaw is exciting. Hogan's exciting. The things point to a win exactly the same way that they all pointed to Essendon beating Melbourne in those occasions. Now, the one time Essendon did beat Melbourne was by 148 points. That was to happen today, Spud. Good luck, Jimmy, I would have thought.
That
ain't happening.
I don't think it will happen, but your boy as well, JD.
What happened
Gorn,
to him?
No, Maxi Gorn. He's on fire. No, your boy.
I'll have a look at the stats from last week.
He got hurt, your
one
boy.
One tackle.
And that tackle sent him off the ground.
He want to have been bloody nigh on passed away, was he?
He got knocked out. I think his arm got separated from his body. He tried to come back on, but they said, no, we best give you a rest.
Need to have been in the true tradition of his surname, Gary. He needed to have been bloody nearly not here anymore.
He did leave with his head, the young fella. You learn from that.
Has been very good.
The other point is that we just had a look on the radar, and as has been predicted over the last 3 days by Livar 9 News, the best weather reporter in the country, it's going to come with a monsoon, hail, maybe snow. How's that going to play out?
It was at Ballarat, it's now at Balan, it's on its way down. It's on its way down in about the next 40 minutes.
You roll all that into a little bundle and you've got 140, I don't know what's going to happen, which will be good. Yeah. Be good to sit back and watch.
That's what we like. Jesse Hogan as well is a fascinating story unfolding for all Melbourne fans, all footy fans.
He's what he is. He's that exciting that not much to be excited about if you're a Melbourne supporter over recent times. It doesn't matter who he plays on, really. That's the most exciting thing about it all. What he hasn't been able to do is have the massive sort of four-quarter performance that could end up kicking 8 goals. He's that good. But he started last week against the West Coast, took 2 or 3 marks in the first 3 or 4 minutes. He thought, here we go again. But eventually it dropped off, and in conjunction with Melbourne's poor form. That's the other thing. They lost by 9 goals last week.
They did.
But Paul Ruse Riley said when it was put to him at the press conference, their backs are against the wall. How close to the wall do you reckon we've been over the last few weeks? But he's a beauty. So he'll get Hurley, you'd reckon, and that's a contest that you'd come and watch anyway.
Does Hooker go forward again?
Well, nothing worked. I mean, Spud was at the game, but he took marks. Had he kicked straight?
Yeah, he could have kicked three. He could have kicked three, but I'm not sure he's a forward. I think they did the right thing leaving Hurley back, by the way. I think Hurley's a better forward, but Hurley's been their best defender. Hooker has had a lot of goals kicked on him. His strength become his weakness. The sides were looking at him and going through him far too easily, and he see ball, get ball. So opposition players were ducking out the back on Hooker. So I think they did the right thing putting
him forward. Who goes forward? Would he go forward again?
I think they would. I don't think he'd afford. I think Hurley's just about, you talk about all-Australian form, I think he's nearly all-Australian with Rance at centre-half-back Hurley, and I don't think you'd toy with that at all because he hasn't conceded many goals. I think it'd be a great match-up with Hogan. I'd leave Hooker up there and just see if he can find a way. He's a very good mark, and, these conditions with Danaher, hopefully it's a marking-type day, but what we're led to believe, it's probably not a day to play as a forward, I wouldn't have thought.
And that's the other thing. They may elect just to have Danaher with 4 or 5 smalls. I mean, their young blokes will all come in. At least from a Bomber point of view, they find, get to look at Laverde and all those. Brown hasn't played footy for a long time because of his knee. Ashby comes into the side, so they're going big time on the youngsters. Mm. Big, big time.
West Coast, just as we get to a break, Purple, they are close to the story of the season.
They've been
astoundingly good.
And they were doing it even before Darling came back in. Mm. And now he has just added the absolute touch of class that they needed up there. And that combo with him and Kennedy is looming as the key. You talk about top four teams. With the conversation about Richmond, they're in there. They're there. They're not going to fall out now.
Top two, they're even sort of threatening West Coast. And 12 months ago, whenever you heard anyone who knew anything about footy talk about them, they said if they could cobble together a midfield that could stand with anyone. They'd actually, the rest of their, what they've got's pretty good. Now their midfield, correct me if I'm wrong, is being spoken about in the best two or three in the comp.
Gaff's recaptured his best form.
McCrar's gone in there a bit.
He goes in a bit. Maston's having a really good year. Prittis is having a Brownlow type year. So their outside run is complimenting now. Shuey is the other one. So they've got a beautiful mix of outside and inside. Wellingham's having a much better year.
McGovern down back.
Good team.
Credit to Adam Simpson.
100%.
Who was... they were slow to get on him, Purple.
Quality. Well, they worked out, as you said last year, but their internal numbering wasn't too bad. They weren't off the pace, and that's what they always held dear
they're
to over the preseason.
That's what they are. They're fit.
Yeah. And speaking of Adam Simpson, former North Melbourne boy, we've got questions on North too, Jim. We held them back from last night.
While you're away.
You were just a bit jet-lagged, but we're going to hit you between
the next,
eyes.
Gary?
No, we're doing
All right. Done.
Well, no, Paul next.
Paul. Well, it's making a comeback because I put it on the back burner after but I'll make
I want to bring up a thing that I ran a couple of weeks ago, and it seems to have died a natural death. I don't want to go back over the plugger interview. Something after. We know that. I've already got the speech ready.
I'll clear the air
Paddy
for you.
Saw Paddy Keane, and he said, get your speech ready now, Spuddy boy.
That's Glen Ferry Gourmet Meats. That's how great a bloody...
And Gaz is going to come up with me to accept the award, because I thought the interviewing from Two Gaz was outstanding.
That's it.
But I want to raise a question after that, but I'll talk about after
Now, Paul, we're just about to get to, and then Spud wants to revisit something that was done sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I thought it'd been finished.
No,
but we'll be honest,
he's going to the well again.
He's going Gary back and revisiting something, so we're looking forward to...
I'm solid right with you.
Exactly.
That needing to go somewhere.
And just on that, to that locker interview, I'm not convinced that Tony actually requested that you and I not be part of it. I just think...
I think you're
actually
right.
Just said that.
I think you're actually right, Purple. Mm. I think that is a fair
that
point.
That is absolute
possible. That of the fact that he didn't know Gary was.
He actually called you Billy Barrett.
I think that is true, actually.
And he called you Mark Brayshaw.
Don't bite, buddy.
I'm not going to bite. Don't bite. That's exactly what happened.
I think that's what it is.
You had a nibble, but let it go. Before you get hooked.
Who have we got back in the studio? Golf bag? All right. Beautiful Hose Mary. Hit the sting here, please.
That is
poor.
I've been carrying such a heavy load, I've had to put poor.
I'm glad this is back, guys.
On the back burner lately.
Yeah. I like it.
You've got the look of a man who's ready to unload poor.
I made Jim row one side of his boat for a while with what the hell. These aren't the officials. These are just were in the finals. Shane Watson was a strong contender when we needed him more than ever.
Yes.
Once again, gets a 30-odd and just falls short.
LBW again.
I'm not a Shane Watson hater.
Got his average.
I'm not a Shane Watson hater, but there comes a time where you've got to stand up. First day, second day of the first test, Ashes test at that. Need him, doesn't get the job done. Our mate Pix. Liam Pickering on Hutchie's show.
Yes.
In the second.
Is he in, or is this just a preamble?
No, this is just a run suggestion. He's got a segment that I listened to this morning called what do I say?
Self-congratulator
of the year. If we weren't morals to at least
win it,
not only be nominated in there,
I'll be insulted if we haven't won.
Hang on, we or Jim?
Well, Jim. all of us.
But no, if it is Jim, it's all
it
of us.
It is Jim. But Jim's monologue last night suggested to me that all bets off.
Yeah, it was.
You might as well. It's like Crown Bet. Just pay out now.
Yeah.
So,
saying I haven't won?
Not only didn't you win, they went through this like 6 or 7 random mentions of some other Nipsies that no one's heard of, and then as they went to the break with the bed playing, so I think he's hoping to sleep by. Pick said, I heard these other blokes on another station last night. They're lucky they didn't get nominated. Didn't get nominated, Picks. Jim would have won this year, next year, and the year after.
So they mentioned a little bit of it, but not go the whole way.
But
impossible.
I said, forget about the Formula One car against the go-kart. I said, now we're just a Scalytrix track with one car on it. We're just zooming around on our own.
As I said in the ad break, I went, they are unplugged.
Well,
the other boxes.
Jim is a self-congratulator of the century.
I am the best.
I'm telling you now.
I'm disappointed I haven't won.
Jim, you also did say, quote, I have no humility.
None.
Is that just one pull?
Nah, it's just drive-by. Bill Cosby gets a drive-by.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have a great week, Bill. He's just off.
Leave that alone.
Don't even
Remember Randy Package?
He's a part of the Wolfpack. He's one of the leaders of the Wolfpack.
I've got a tweet here from Spud's Pack leader. He says, see, Randy Package has not taken too well to his leadership group. And then posted a Twitter picture of about 20 texts that the Package is now sending to 3AW.
No. come
package.
On.
They're what's unplugged, package. They're not plugged in, mate.
Oh, no.
Hey, just got the come package. On. It was nice while it lasted, mate, but you are out. Out.
Oh, no. Tried to warn you about him, guess.
Yeah. All right, here's my first one. This is a poor. Our man Dane Swan goes over to Adelaide to play a big game against Port Adelaide, wanders out for a stroll with his mate to watch State of Origin, and this is what unfolds.
We literally had gone three blocks, and I was like, mate, what have you done to me? What's going on here? I don't know whether is this a set? I thought I was getting stitched for half a second. I thought, I've been stitched here by the footy show or something. I don't know what's going on. And then they tapped on the window and said, get out, grab me out of the car. And they sort of looked at me a bit funny, and they go, oh, how long you been here? I said, about 2 minutes, mate. That's four blocks up the road. And they go, okay, well, yeah, you're not who we're looking for.
Poor to the Adelaide police.
I thought it was a bikie.
Well, and I can understand that. Yeah. But come on. You surely know who Swan is. So they get a
port.
The leader of the opposition, Bill Shorten.
Oh, I love it.
I caught some of his stuff up at the Royal Commission and listened to him try to answer. Now, when you've been called before a Royal Commission, it's really incumbent to answer the questions.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, after about an hour and a half of rambling, in the end, the bloke who was doing it, the QC or the judge or whoever, he said, Bill, you're not sounding credible and you're not doing yourself any favours here. Mm. Now, that is poor, poor. That is the leader of our opposition who's dancing around questions. It's just not a good look. It is not a good look at all. I don't weigh too often into it, but Bill Shorten didn't do himself any
forehead favors. Shorten.
Yeah. And this is a no-brainer. Yeah. Old IMAX with the put the movies on his forehead.
Projector.
And widescreen. Come on, Bill.
It's like Horse Longmire, isn't it?
It is.
It's bigger than horses.
It's got horses covered, I reckon.
And this might be a no-brainer, a low-hanging fruit, but the way Nick Kyrgios handled himself over at Wimbledon, I don't care how young Nick is, we as an Australian sports-loving public do not tolerate people who just spit the toys out of the cots and don't try. I don't care if you get beaten, and I don't really care about the temper tantrums, because I'm exactly the same. But when you just walk away after a bloke serves to you, that makes me feel not proud to be associated with that guy. I want to barrack for him. I want to cheer for him. I want to be able to say we're right behind him.
But he gives you every reason not to.
Will not tolerate blokes that just drop their bat and ball and go home.
No. He took the toys out of the cot.
Nick Kyrgios, poor.
He gets a poor.
A triple poor.
Oh, come on, Nick. You're better than that. So,
we're not sure if he is.
IMAX and Adelaide Police.
Yeah, righto. I like it. It's a nice serving.
Yeah,
nice.
Good serving.
And
I liked it. Grumpy.
I liked a bit of the intro stuff too. Some others getting mentioned.
Poor old Pickers didn't get a little drive.
Come on, Picks.
But it's not a drive, mate. You're going to do this segment. You've got the self-congratulator
he's got to get his plums
proudly
off the picket fence, Pickers. Just call it.
How aren't I winning it? Well, I'll be taking that up personally with Picks.
You're winning the other one.
And Hutchie.
The first person.
The first person, myself.
Actually, I think it's the same segment now, isn't it?
Now, I want to go back a couple of weeks ago. I just want to go back a couple of weeks ago and when Gary and I did the interview of the year, as everyone talked about, getting Plugger on.
Did Plugger know it was Gary?
Talking about, yeah, he did. Because the Hereford Cows, he's a good country boy.
I'm not sure.
Had any rain up there?
That was the question of the year. That's when I had him by the pills, the big fella. Because I knew there was a lot of rain. I did me own. A lot of spring grass up there.
Yes. Coming.
But anyway, as you know, I was pretty excited after it. A little bit emotional. And give it to you, JB.
You did.
But more importantly, you.
Well, because, Spud, what you did is you backed up what you said you were going to do.
A lot of doubters out there.
And delivered the interview of the year.
Because when...
And we get sick of doing the heavy lifting.
Spot on. And there was a lot of doubters, but everyone just got around us. You and I, Gary.
Yeah,
and thought, what an interview.
They did.
So I asked the question after it.
You did.
Because... you were the most important person, Warrior, that doubted me the most. JB jumped off the first week.
I had
significant
doubts.
You did. But were the one that chortled the most over the 2 or 3 week period when Plugger wasn't on.
Yeah, I was enjoying the fact he wouldn't take your call.
I was nearly going to hit it off. I was going to use you as a speedball. I asked the question at the end of it. Okay, there's an interview.
Yep, you did.
I'm going to put it to everyone other than you, Gary, because you helped me. To come up. To come up.
Did he help
yes,
you?
I did. Yeah. I supported you.
Supported me all the way.
That was you helped me. He's nodding his head like a dickhead looking at
me. He didn't talk to me leading into the interview, but once he knew I was on, he was right around.
So what have I got to do?
You've got to get an interview.
This gym as well?
No, this is you, Purple.
You at the moment.
You,
well, no, I'm
we're in this
you.
Together, aren't we, Jim?
No. It's you. I'm looking at you, Four Eyes.
Right? Four Eyes.
I'm looking at you. Binocular eyes. You've got to come up with an interview in someone in your field. Genre.
Genre, good word.
Nice
genre.
Words,
good
bud.
Word. And I don't want guys like Jeff Poulter or Smokey Dawson. Or Kim Hagdorn from Perth. Haggers.
They're icons.
I know they are, but... We need to get someone who's up there.
At the same level elevated of standing in your own field. That's
your
what
own field.
When do you want this for?
Next week or the week after. Yeah, well, it took me 2 weeks, but
yeah, maybe string it out a bit from
So we're talking the world of the pack will be thrilled with this.
Jay Leno.
Yeah, in media, news, politics, but news, abroad news. So we want
media.
We want overseas. We want big. We want you to push the boat out. Do you accept the challenge, Warrior?
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly.
I've got
embracing the challenge.
Got a little bit on most weeks, Gaz, and now we've got something else to it, which will take some time. Yes, to answer your question.
Laurie Oakes style.
Yeah.
Would Laurie Oakes cut it?
That would be good. I'd be happy with that.
Would Laurie Oakes cut it?
I'd be happy with Laurie.
And then the challenge is to make it interesting and relevant to our audience.
Someone from 60 Minutes, maybe?
Yeah.
They're very good.
Do I get to... not today. Yeah. Do I get to determine who's actually does the interview once I get someone?
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
We'll have a break in that.
If you want to chop me and spud out, do
I'm
so
quite
at your
happy
peril.
To sit there and cop it.
After having already landed the interview of the year, we can sit back and smoke the pie. Yeah.
Well, you didn't land it.
We sort of did together.
I'm not even sure you...
Yes, we did.
Some heavy lifting. Asked too many questions.
No, he did some heavy lifting. So you're happy to take that challenge, Warrior?
I don't think I have a choice.
Let's get the Wolfpack to give us some ideas as well.
I'll give you a hand here, Warrior. The Wolfpack suggestions for Warrior... To go and chase down over the next week.
Within reason. I'm a busy man.
Within your genre, as Spud says, commensurate with the interview of the century Spud and me delivered a couple of weeks ago.
I might need to get a boy on for this task.
Hey, Purple. Well, you got Masai. You can dust him off.
Get Young Warrior.
Hey, I will say this. If you're going after Laurie Oakes, first thing you got to do is find him. Because I have a very strong theory about Laurie that he hasn't moved for 10 years. He sits in front of a green screen and they just either put Canberra behind him or sometimes they put Kirribilli behind him. Or sometimes it's just generic Sydney Harbour and Laurie hasn't actually moved.
You reckon he's
I think he just sits there.
He still writes more stories than anyone we know.
The best in the business and he's that good he doesn't have to move.
You reckon he's a bit plumpish?
But I think they've got to find him. He's in a secret... He's valuable to Nine... That they put him in a secret location with a green screen behind him so that other mobs can't get to him. I'm serious, Purple. So if you find Laurie Oakes, you will be a superstar because don't worry, lots have tried and have had no success.
And you don't want to get the guy from South Australia, Michelangelo Riscatelli, whatever his name is.
Ruchi.
What's who we got?
The pack love IMAX short.
That was very
the greatest forehead you've ever seen, no doubt about it. Hey, the rain is coming. It's Armageddon, the weather heading here. So we hope it comes at about 4:30 when the game's finished. Please don't not come to the game because of that.
No. Tom Petroski. That's what Tom Petroski. Yeah. The death reckons.
No.
Ponytail and all.
It doesn't even
yes, I like it,
doesn't
Gary.
Doesn't even rate Tom like Petroski. The last time he gives a good tip with the share.
Xavier Campbell to come next. Keep your thoughts, the Wolfpack coming in, as to who Damo should do the feature interview with.
Quarters just texted and said that he can get Sandra Sully.
Sandra Sully would be fantastic.
That's good.
I think she'd be magnificent.
Not up to standard.
Letterman.
Spuds just said she's not up to standard, Sandra Sully.
Not
good enough.
That's about group two.
Nice fullback.
She's a beautiful lady.
Parkinson, Letterman, Scotty Palmer, Mark Robinson.
Scotty Palmer.
Kim Beazley, Conan O'Brien. So anyway, let's see how you go with the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club before you let
keep those suggestions coming in. We have Xavier Campbell, CEO of the Essendon Footy Club, been good enough to join us in what's a very tough time for his footy club. We always appreciate it. Xavier, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, where do we start with you? It's one of those amazing things where we were just saying off air, it's a very tough industry anyway to work in footy. Mm. But for your club over the last 2.5 years, I can't imagine a tougher environment.
It has been tough. I'm not going to lie about that. I think early in the piece, I was sort of saying to someone earlier at the function that I think when I took over the start of last year, I quickly learnt there was things you can control and there's things you can't. And I probably wasted a month trying to work out, you know, trying to control the things I couldn't control. And then finally, when we worked that out and we focused on the things we could, I think we started to make some ground. And obviously, team performance at the moment, though, isn't at the level that we had thought it would be and we expected. And we've got a lot of work to do in that space. And that's the objective.
So important within footy clubs is, for want of a better term, the vibe, keeping everyone up. And that's just week to week because it's a reactive week to week business. And everyone looks at the 22 that play on the weekend and get angry when they lose or happy when they win. But I always say spare a thought for all the staff at a footy club who ride that same roller coaster. But a lot of the time, people in property and people in marketing and people in finance have no ability to impact the result at all, but still feel it just as much. At your club, you've not only had the week-to-week roller coaster every club goes on, but you've had this other thing hanging over all of your heads. How's it been for you as the head of the organisation to keep that vibe and that belief and that bubble going within your what is a very big organisation?
Yeah, it's been a constant challenge, and I think you rightly mentioned that, for the young, you've got an average age of about 25 years of age at a footy club when it comes to your administrative staff, and as much as your support is focused on the players and the football department because they're at the coalface, the rest of the staff are, they're going to barbecues and everyone wants to talk about Essendon, and unfortunately everyone has sort of seemed to have either a black or white view when in actual fact it's probably a bit grey and it's been very difficult. So,
And just on that, Xavier, the list management strategy that for the Essendon supporters listening, you obviously got Chapman, Cooney, Gwilt, even Goddard a couple of years ago, and now you're playing one of the youngest teams you've ever had. If I was an Essendon supporter at the moment, I'd be confused, because I'm not quite sure what the list management strategy is. So has that been a mistake, getting those older players now than playing the youth?
Well, we have got 10 of our best 22 injured as well, so that's played a big part. Yeah. Obviously, when we sat down, we're working through our strategy. Obviously, the back end of last year, I think we played some pretty good football. Obviously, at one point, we were 30 points up against North Melbourne in a final, and North ran over us. We had played some good football, particularly early in the year. We challenged Sydney round one up there, and then we obviously beat the Hawks in round two. And then, probably the last six or seven weeks hasn't been at the level we like it to be. And then, we'll sit down. We've got another 9 or 10 weeks of the season to go. We'll see how the team performs, and then we'll make informed decision on where our list's at and what our strategy is moving forward. But, I'd like to think we're going to be more competitive today than we were last week, certainly.
Attracting players to the clubs, Xavier, it hasn't been easy, and it's not going to be easy with what lies ahead. The trade period is going to fall outside of the next phase of the WADA situation. Do you brace yourself for that outcome again, to get no quality players in? And I say quality players that aren't at the end of their careers, like a Chapman and a Cooney have been in recent years.
Well, we'll wait and see where we sit at the end of the year. As I said, I think it's only right that we use the next 9 or 10 weeks to really evaluate where our list sits and determine the strategy at that point in time. And it may well be that we want to go a little younger, we want to draft and those sorts of things where it's not an incumbent in most respects, and that we'll just wait and see where it sits at that point in time. But whether or not it falls inside or outside the window of the CAS hearing, we don't know yet. No one knows yet, and I think any reporting around that is premature at this point in time. And certainly the players' lawyers haven't got any indication at this point around precise dates for a hearing, or how long it will take, or how long a decision will take to then be reached. So we'll have to wait and see. And we've dealt with really unique situation for 18 months or 2.5 years now. And unfortunately, as I said before, there's things you control and things you can't, and we'll tackle those as we sort of get them.
Damo's got more questions for you, so I'm just going to have one and then let him go. So do you think James Hird has got a clear enough mind to be able to process everything that's been going on now, combined with the fact that your footy club on field is struggling? Is he clear enough in his own mind then to make a decision like Nathan Buckley has, for instance, at Collingwood, and say, we're not at a situation where we're going to go and compete and contest top four and maybe contend, therefore I'll make hard calls on Didak and Thomas and even the Beams one? That takes a hell of a lot of clarity in your own mind, and then say, and then I'm going to pump in youth, and we've seen the fruits of that labour. So prepared to go back to go forward takes an enormous clarity and clear vision. Now, with everything that's going on with James, I'd be staggered if he is able to have that clear vision of mind. Do you think he has?
Oh, I think he has. I don't have any issues or reservations with that. I mean, you've got to remember that your decision-making... Yeah, absolutely. If it got to that. But you've got to remember that your decision-making, your list management strategy is not made up by one person.
No, it isn't.
You know, it's made up of a pretty serious group of people.
And you had issues with draft picks being taken away. I understand all that sort
absolutely.
Of stuff.
But as I sort of said yesterday, I spoke at lunch yesterday, and we'll make the decisions that we have to make to become a more competitive football club. And I don't think football clubs in this state, you don't want to be a finished seventh or finished eighth or finished ninth. You want to be a top four team.
But you're prepared to go back to go forward.
If it gets to that point, but we'll make a decision as to where our list sits. And if we needed to do that, well, we'd have to give serious consideration. Yep. And I think that's what our fans would want. But, as I said, we're 9 or 10 weeks away from really having a good handle on the list and then being able to make a really informed decision and set the right strategy at that point in time.
So, as you say, making the decisions you have to make, is there a decision still to be made on James Hurd himself? I know he's contracted for next year, so contractually he's there, but do you have to, as a club, actually make that decision that he does go into 2016 as coach?
No, I don't think we do. I mean, he's contracted. Where you're probably going to go with the question is probably, are you saying, can we move forward with James as coach? And I think we can. I mean, if James wasn't here tomorrow, if Paul wasn't here tomorrow, if I wasn't here tomorrow, we'd still be facing the challenges that we've faced. And when it comes to pure performance and on-field expectation, I feel very confident in James's ability to turn this around. I think he came into our football club, 2011, with a clear mandate to improve our defence. We did that really quickly. We started to play more competitive football. And James has had an element of success throughout that period. I feel he's the right person to do that.
He did that with Goodwin, with Thompson, with McCartney as great support in that box. And that period of success coincided. A young coach, never done it before. It was essential that they had that support with him, and the tactical nous of those blokes and the experience of handling and having gone through a premiership coach success. And now that's gone. I know you've replaced them, albeit with people who haven't had the same degree of success. Is that a consideration?
I mean, you're always trying to improve either your list or your football department and a whole range of things. I think it's such a competitive landscape.
It's a unique position to put a coach in fresh with no coaching experience at all, and you surrounded him with those people, which was wise, and you enjoyed success. So I think you're absolutely on the right path. Now he stands there without those three men particularly.
Well, the only outlier there is, I mean, Mark Thompson obviously had significant experience. Simon Goodwin was a first-year coach at that
enormously
point in time.
Enormously respected in the industry.
In hindsight, he was a first-year coach at that point in time, and he obviously created a great profile and did a fantastic job. Obviously, we brought in Neil Craig from a leadership perspective, and Neil got a very high winning percentage as a coach for the Adelaide Crows. Mark, Neil, and I know Mark has copped criticism in the past, but Mark was involved in an incredibly successful period at the Collingwood Football
Development
Club, heading out development, which is a really important space in your football club. So, we'll look at every opportunity to improve the output of our football program in the back half of the year, but I do have confidence in those guys.
So everyone in life, and we in this box, obviously, look back on certain things we do in our lives and wish we had that time over again. Do you, as a footy club, wish you had the time over again when there was the possibility of the players taking a deal to make this matter go away? And I know the connotations to taking the deal, and you don't need to go down that path, but do you wish you had that time again and to go back to that period and take that deal?
Well, it's not a deal for the players. Firstly, it's not between Asada and the players. It's between Asada and the club. It's between Asada and the players. I mean, the club is not even an interested party when it comes to legal jargon. That's the way it's
worked. But you footed the legal bill. You were briefing them.
Absolutely, but I don't think so at all. And if you talk to the players, absolutely not, because there's a principal piece there that they have felt very, very strong, and they still do. And I think you're forgetting that the baseline that was set by the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal at the end of March was pretty clear. And they, they were found not guilty, or however you want to refer to it. And the players have been strong in their view that they didn't do anything wrong, and the club is, and certainly everything
but
I've read.
They don't know what they took, and you as a club still to this day can't
definitively
tell them what they took.
I think we have a fair handle on what was taken and what wasn't taken. And obviously at the time, the club did an enormous amount of work with independent medical experts to ensure that we looked at a whole range of supplements, anything that was remotely connected to the program to provide safety profile and comfort to the parents and the players, and they took comfort from that, absolutely. But I think, you know, whatever deal you're talking about, if you take yourself back to when deals were offered, and I know you've mentioned in the past 2 weeks, which I've no idea where that's come from, but taking yourself back to the point where show cause notices were issued and there wasn't any evidence attached to the show cause notices and they were offered deals, just think that's... that expectation for players to go and do deals on such a serious matter is unrealistic.
And I understand that. And maybe you can't ask this question or answer this question unless you are one of the players. But it would have gone away. And it would not be right in front of you now. And you referred to difficulties. What lies ahead for you as CEO of this footy club and everyone associated with it? It still may be the worst patch of what you've already been through still to come as a result of that decision making.
Yeah, well, the view about it going away is a very simplistic one that I don't agree with. And that's just my view. And the players... I know, don't agree with that. In terms of it going away, I mean, we are part of a process that's been ongoing now for 29 months or so, of which 26 months of that, we have had absolutely zero control. Now, we still don't have control of that process. It's out of the players' hands, it's out of the club's hands, and we have to respect the process. So, you know, you can say, what are you going to do here? We don't have any other options right now but to focus all of our energy on the things we can control, and that's supporting the players, driving good outcomes for our football club and trying to improve our football program. And if you think more broadly about where the club is at, obviously a big focus is on field, but you know, we've moved into a fantastic new facility. We've done it on minimal debt. We set a record membership last year, record sponsorship. You know, we've had tremendous support corporate and consumer and fan-wise, and, you know, I think that's been relatively unacknowledged in a sense. And, you know, we've got to keep doing the work and focusing on those things we can do that are important to our football club.
Xavier, I know you've got to go. In the absence of your chairman, Paul Little, you are hosting the function, so we need to let you go. But I've been away. I've been up in Bali, so I've missed a lot. But when I came back, I just checked the papers online and I saw my girls just put a sweep through the whole place. Not only you and your media manager and the chairman. Did she leave the property steward, or is he going too? Did she miss anyone?
Caroline Wilson's article, yep. Jim, you're referring to. Yep. One of the sackings of Herd, Little, Xavier, and even Justin
Rodsky. Poor old Justin Rodsky, the media manager, he copped it as well.
I tell you, when I went to the office the next day, poor old Skeeter was getting a little bit nervous as well.
Who's Skeeter?
He's the mascot.
Well, all I'll say is wear it as a badge of honour. If she hasn't sacked you, you're not fair dinkum in this comp. Good luck today. Thanks, a big day for your footy club. You need to bounce back.
Not so much luck, but anyway, exactly right. It goes all right.
With everything coming up. Xavier Campbell doing, I guess, purple, the only thing he can do.
I thought he was good, Jim.
Be as positive as he can about the club. He's the man who's been in the crosshairs now for a long time.
I don't know. That's the first time I've met Xavier Campbell, and I don't follow the politics of it as much as you do, Warrior. But he took over at a horrible time.
Oh, terrible.
He did take over at a horrible time. That's all I would say on that.
And hey, he's a good man.
Is he? Yep, good. I like to hear that. The pack. You're inside the pack or outside the pack? I don't know if you know how a pack operates, Warrior.
Well, I do. Well, you're all in.
Well, I study wolf culture. I do.
I know you do.
I spend
you
a
tell
lot
me
of time
every National culture. Geographic yeah, series you watch.
And you're either a part of the roaming pack, and the summer months we go our own way as a pack. Right. That is fine.
And you know your place in the pack?
Yeah, of course.
Like
the hierarchy.
Sometimes you're on the fringes of the pack?
Your arm chewed off if you jump out of line, and if you try and jump one of the pack members out of line, you get a hammer too. Anyway. You disappear over summer and then you come back together as a pack. Well, it appears that one of the pack's gone rogue.
Yep.
And what happens when the rest of the pack turn?
Right.
Savagely.
On the rogue member.
Well, that's it, Jim.
Yes.
So we've lost the member.
The man who's turned rogue, is he once an integral member of it?
He wants to get back in or not?
Well, once this is his final text or tweet through as a pack member, which is a bit sad because I don't like losing members, but it has to happen.
Well, there are millions.
Last time I checked, you blokes don't own the rights to me, so I can listen to whoever I like. Want me exclusively? Pay me.
Who's that?
And gone.
Now gone.
Gone.
Blowing up.
Snorkel opened up his account and hit that beautiful key, Jim.
I don't know
blocked.
How you do that. Yeah. Anyway, so we are tight, and in this environment here, we look around Spud Regis and we can see all the other little minnow sort of fox packs trying to get together, and we just snarl at them.
We're trying to look in our window at the moment.
Own them.
Doc Larkins was in the pack at one stage. And never gets to look back
He's out there now with puppy dog eyes looking through the window at the moment. Rack off, Doc.
Jim.
Yes?
Are you president of a team that is mentally weak, North Melbourne.
Yeah, I didn't like reading that, I must admit. I always say this, Purple, when you cough up the performance that we coughed up on the weekend, you deserve what you cop. There's no hiding in this caper, and I actually thought, and you know, we laugh about the fact that I was out of the country, which I was, but I obviously kept an eye on all of the messaging. And obviously, I thought that given the savaging Essendon received at the hands of St Kilda, North Melbourne didn't cop as much as we actually should have and
yep,
could have.
I agree with
almost
that
saved too, because they were a bigger story.
It's the way the cycle works, but that
which it is, and
happen.
Sometimes you can get lucky. And I thought our club got lucky, myself included, because we're all in it. We don't have a situation where any blames apportioned anywhere. We're all in the middle of this tent, and we were very poor on the weekend. You know, you get beaten by 10 goals or as good as by the bottom team. Regardless of any circumstance around that, it is not good enough. So the thing that always concerns me and has done for a long time, Damo, is this mentality of you'll see a strong response from North Melbourne. They always respond. It's the great thing about them. They always respond, and we do.
And you've said that regularly.
Yeah. And that is a terrific thing. You get it. It's a very proud playing group and a very proud footy club, and so there'll be a strong response.
But you're having to respond a lot this season.
Well, this is the next point I was going to make is the biggest issue I see with us at the moment is that we're having to respond too often because we're putting ourselves in that position. And the analogy I use is you don't see Hawthorn having to respond very often because they don't put themselves in that position in the first place. So, well, you know, the message to our playing group is, boys, don't get yourself into a position where you have to respond. Don't play like that in the first place. And it was a very disappointing performance. Adelaide round one was a very disappointing performance. Hawthorn and Fremantle are very good sides, so they can get hold of you. I was really disappointed on both of those days, but 10 goal losses to the best in the business, you sort of go, well, yeah, disappointing, but, you know, maybe some slack cut. Those other two games were very poor. So, you know, what I think we need to do as a club is start saying, okay, to go forward, we've got to see the end of that. We've got to see the back of that. You can't have performances like that where for a massive part of a game you're close to non-competitive. And that's not good
enough. But, Jim, in all honesty, you were saying that 2 years ago, and surely after 2014, you felt that those days under Brad Scott were behind North Melbourne.
Yeah, no, and there's not one doubt about that. So that's the disappointing part of this year is last year we had this huge jump forward, and not only in the two finals, one and a really strong September campaign, but during the course of the year, beat all the sides in the top eight. I think the worst loss for the year was 40 points or not even. It might have been late 30s or early 40s. And, you know, we pride ourselves as a club on being never beaten. It's the whole shinboner mantra that you're never beaten. It's not only as a club so that you treat adversity, you meet adversity face on and beat it, you know, from a point of having to go and relocate or being, you know, in a financially tough position, and we've met all of them and overcome them. But also during the 2 hours of Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, whenever you play. So that never beaten thing is something that we take very seriously and have great care with. So too many times this year we've been too easily beaten, and that's a concern.
The worry now would be, and I've been a fan of the Kangas last year, one of the few who thought you could contend strongly, is as each year passes, you're going to get further away given the profile of your list. It is an old list.
Well, it is, but the group that I think is going to take us forward, Gaz, there's about 10 or 12 of them who aren't old.
The group that are old have got you where you've been and remain critically important. Petrie... Harvey.
Frito's still hanging on there.
Yep. So, and that's okay. That's attrition. But you've also, there's an opportunity that was there last year that wasn't taken and now looks like it's going to be missed this year. And that makes them even less of a part in your next crack at it. That's the worry.
Yeah, it is. But I have great faith, and you know this because we've discussed our list before. I have great faith in Zeebel, in Cunnington, in Goldstein, in Wright, in, you know, this 100-game group that's come through, you know, in Bastanac, in McMillan, in, you know, this Hansen, this group of players who have played, you know, 25, 50, 75, 100. That's the group that's going to take us forward, I think, Drew. And
is there superstars in there, like A-grade superstars? Because when you're talking premierships and you're looking at the teams who have won them, I can rear you off eight without thinking of Hawthorn and Sydney in recent times. Have you got A-grade Goldstein, I'd say,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Goldstein. And I think Zeebel has got...
Not quite
yet, but I think he has that.
That's
definitely
two.
Has that capability.
That's two.
One and a half. At this stage.
I mean, one of the things we've had to contend with as a club, Gaz, is we are an Essendon, Xavier, the only other club that's never had a number one pick history of the comp. Mm-hmm. There's only two clubs that haven't. I think we've only got two top five picks on our list at the moment. I think Cunnis was five, so that's Cunnington, Hanson, and Wells. So, you know, you could argue that, you know, the quality of access of play we've had has not been as good as the teams you're mentioning. But I don't buy into that, because you've got what you got. You've got to make it work. And so what we've done as a footy club over the last sort of 2 or 3 months is said, right, where are we going wrong? Where is this going wrong? What do we need to do to fix it and get on with it? Get on with fixing it. I mean, it's really
what do you though, Jim? I know it's not a simple answer. But
well, that's where...
Because this season has got away, as Gary said, and it may not be retrievable.
Garried me.
He did.
Well, it's a serious footy conversation.
It's not one thing, Purple. It's right. You know, your playing group have got a responsibility to themselves. I always think that. I always thought that in my own in a different game. But at the end of the day, you are responsible for your own game and its health. I always think that. So you can have as many coaches as you like, and you know, in my setup was always, well, you end up 22 yards away from someone. It doesn't matter what a coach has said to you at that point. You got to cope and you got to prevail. Otherwise, you're no bloody good. And we're the same. In a footy sense. So, you know, Jamie McMillan and these blokes are like, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to me to get this right. So they've got a big responsibility. Then you've got your footy department. We've had some issues, of course, with the coach's health and a few other things, but that doesn't matter. You know, Croc comes in, people replace, and we still expect a standard that we haven't seen.
JB,
so we've got to get better, and we've got to get better quickly, and it's got to start tonight.
With 9 games left, what's going to be the pass mark then for North? At the start of the season, what was your pass mark?
To be honest, Spud, I don't even look that far ahead. The pass mark for me is the 2 hours tonight. You know, you've got to expect to see a much more ferocious at the contest 22 playing group. I'm really pleased to see Taylor Garner coming in for that exact reason, just as an aside. Mm. So let's get through tonight and make sure that, you know, we see a lot better stuff, and then address Essendon next week and start worrying about what happens in 6 to 8 weeks then. I think it's foolish. I think it's foolish to look any further than the 2 hours tonight.
No, it's well answered.
And get it right.
That's because the way I would answer it.
We haven't got it right. No doubt about it. Certainly didn't get it right on the weekend.
Yep.
Tell you what, it's the committed that are here today, Gary.
Yeah.
The committed.
Yeah.
They'll be down and they'll be warm and they'll be beanied and they'll be watching sitting shoulder to shoulder with our man Mark Howard, who will be down there as well.
This is where you find out about blokes that can go.
Yep.
And those others, which we don't get the ratings result we have just had on the back of easy option taking.
Exactly.
And that
right.
doesn't happen.
Of course. You know what? You know your role, you play your role.
Yeah.
That's what Triple M's all about. Know your role, play your role.
There's no shortcuts in this industry.
And it's a little bit wet out there, but it's not cold.
Stiff.
Well, and Spud, if you've got your 4-ply steamer on and you head out to Bell's regularly, which our man Howie does, then a slightly cold afternoon at the G ain't bothering him in the slightest.
I heard.
There might be others that'll come up and do it in the comfort of the behind the glass.
I heard.
There's Howie down there.
He's had a good couple of weeks, bud.
I heard from a second source that he said that I've done breakfast radio when Ed's away, him and King, and he's done four hours of radio today.
Crimea River.
So he's done his spot on.
Crimea River, bud.
Sympathy is like
what,
junk food. There's
I'll
no nourishment in it.
When you get in to the A side.
Yeah, that's right.
You hold on for all your work.
Yeah, you grab.
Now, if you've worked 40 hours...
If you've worked 40 hours straight,
you're crawling in and you go, thanks for the privilege, I'll just make my way down. If you open that door a fraction, there'll be a stampede coming in.
Oh, well, there's a lot of people. Jakey King and Mom White. There's a long list of people that could actually... Yeah.
He's just hung his jacket up on the wall. He's staying in here.
No, I won't have anything said about him. He'll be down
that
there.
That won't happen, Warren.
So do not worry
I'm
about
telling
it.
You.
I haven't got any doubt.
4:25 a.m. it is over there.
He's himself.
Is he just getting home normally about this time?
Yeah. Now he's ready to jump into the water. The dog.
What up, frogs?
Now, listen here. Where, are you in Dover? What part of England are you?
Yeah, in Dover. Just doing final preps. About to head down to the harbour. Got a 5 a.m. pickup, and away we go. Roughest conditions you've ever seen in your life here. There's white caps rolling in. No one else is game enough to go out today, but I've said to him, we're ready.
No, well, we've had a look at the conditions, Brown Dog. It's flat as the old proverbial Carter's hat.
Yeah, no, we've been sitting here in Dover for 4 days waiting for appropriate conditions, and thought I was going to be swimming yesterday, but that got cancelled because of a strong headwind. But we're ready to go. You're right, Spud. It's absolutely perfect. couldn't ask for a better day.
So tell us, dog, what happens? You're going to just walk out and start swimming, and there's a boat, and there's one boat that just goes alongside you. Is that it?
Yep. Boat alongside me with the support crew that will feed me every 30 minutes. So I'll just be swimming. They'll buy a whistle. I'll stop, get some food and drink, and continue doing that for, about 15 hours.
Sounds like fun, dog.
it's not going to be too exciting.
Now, dog, I know because we've followed it closely that you've been trained to the minute, but I think you've had a late hiccup. Yeah. I understand you and the coach have had a one for the ages just in the last stages, a big sort of dust-up.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a dust-up. There was a bit of a power struggle on who was making the decisions. And as you know, Jim, I make the decisions about everything. once she took that on board, everything was okay. But, it got heated there for a couple of days.
So you're back
nearly
on terms?
The boat. Yeah, we're back.
Hey, dog, all jokes aside, are you scared? Are you nervous, apprehensive, or do you just feel you've done the work and what will be in the next 15 hours will be?
Yeah, Warrior, I feel like I'm pretty well prepared. I've been training for 18 months. I can handle the cold water. We've been pretty blessed with how hot the weather's been over here, so that shouldn't be too much of a problem. Obviously, yep. A little bit anxious. Didn't get a great night's sleep last night just thinking about it, but had some terrific support from all my mates and everyone, and I feel like I'm ready, mate. So as long as I just keep rolling the arms over, as I told Bung one day, one arm in front of the other, I'll land somewhere. Hopefully it's Amsterdam, to be honest with you.
It's channelswimmingassociation.com/tracking. Either that or the Shane Warne Foundation website. You can follow the progress of the dog as he heads across the channel. One of the great individual performances is going to be.
Hey, Jim, as you know, I like to do a bit of swimming. Yeah. And when I do 2 kilometres, that's about that's 50 minutes, yeah. I walk out of the pool knackered. I can't get my head around this. I'm serious about it. It's extraordinary.
Two laps of your 50 metres sees me out purple. I've never been a swimmer in my life. So, dog, good luck with it, mate. Our thoughts are with you, and we'll be tracking you on the Shane Warne Foundation.
We've been it.
Thanks, boys.
Good luck, man.
Just got to believe.
Never doubted you. A bit like Spud's interview. Yeah. I'm right with you.
It's a doggy dog. Can you believe it?
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.